Shall we pray together, thanking the Lord for the cross? We thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, oh God, for such a love that we cannot comprehend. We want to say thank you. Thank you, oh God, that we are who we are today. We are what we are today because of your great love. And Lord, the word says, having given us your very Son, is there anything that you can withhold from us? Nothing. Because you've given us the very best, and there's nothing else that you can withhold from us. So, Lord, we can trust you. We can trust you because of this. Lord, as we come to the preaching of your word, we pray, oh God, that indeed you speak to us, and that your word will have an effect, an impact in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning. Yeah, there's something we are going to talk about today. Yeah. You know, there's something I have observed and experienced in my adult Christian life. Two people can be in a similar situation, but react differently. One is anxious and worried to the point of being a wreck, while the other has peace, faith, and hope, despite the circumstances. What do you suppose makes such a difference? So understanding what determines this difference in reaction will be our focus this morning. So the theme for this morning is trusting in God. And the title is, where is your trust? Where is your trust? So trusting the Lord means relying completely on God's wisdom and timing, even when life's circumstances do not make sense. Have you ever been there when life doesn't make sense? You know that. So it's an active surrender that replaces fear and anxiety with an unwavering peace. I'm mindful that in a congregation of this size, people are facing circumstances of all sorts, and others may be panicking, anxious, or despairing. Others may just be afraid of tomorrow and could be asking themselves questions such as the following. What if what I'm fearing comes to pass? What if things do not go well? Whatever those things could be. What if what I need or want doesn't happen? A what if question is about what is likely to happen that has not yet happened. It may happen or it may never happen at all, but it can cause unnecessary mess with your mind depending on where your trust lies. However, in whatever state you are, pause and reflect on where your trust lies. By the end of this service, you should ask yourself where your trust lies. Where is your trust? We are going to just be in two verses, Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 6. A very familiar scripture. It tells us, I'm using NKJV, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Now, The first part says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Why is it, stressed like that? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. You know why? Because you can have your trust in something or someone else other than the Lord. And we all know this. On the other hand, partial trust in the Lord is the same as not trusting him at all. So if you are trusting him partially, it's the same as not trusting. It's supposed to be trust in the Lord with all your heart. If you look at Psalms 20, verse 7, it says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we remember the name of the Lord our God. In those days, chariots and horses symbolized the supreme military might and human power. In the modern world, they represent wealth, career stability, technology, such as AI, and advanced medical technology, and personal status that people rely on for security rather than on God. So it's possible that you can be trusting on your wealth, you can put your trust in your career stability, you can put your trust in technology, you can put your trust in advanced medical technology, you can even put your trust in personal status and you rely on those things for your security. Further still, others trust in people. But according to what Jeremiah 17:5 says, it says, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. Cursed. Do you know why the one who trusts in man is cursed? It is because humans are inherently limited, unpredictable, and prone to failure. Relying heavily on people, whether it is a government, leaders, loved ones, or even one's own self-effort, guarantees eventual disappointment and spiritual ruin. You know, at one point, Israel looked to Egypt to help. You know, it was during they were facing some wars, and that was after they had moved from the desert. And they called on Egypt. And hear what the Lord says. He says, now the Egyptians are men and not God, and their horses are flesh and not spirit. When the Lord stretches out his hand, both he who helps will fall, and he who is helped will fall down. They all will perish together. So be it its wealth, be it whatever it is, be it it's another man, that's where our trust shouldn't be there. You know, there is no safety in trusting the arm of flesh. The last part of verse 5, it says, lean not on your own understanding. Lean not on your own understanding. Why shouldn't we lean on our own understanding? We humans are significantly short-sighted. We can only see what is happening right in front of us. And what has already happened, those are the only things that we know. In any case, our own understanding is limited. So what you think you understand is not what it is. But what God sees the full picture all at once. And he knows the end from the beginning. Isaiah 46, verse 10 tells us, I make known the end from the beginning. From ancient times, what is still to come? I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. God knows the end from the beginning. Before you were born, before you were conceived, God knew you. He even knows how you are going to end. Now, how does trusting in the Lord with all your heart look like in reality? You know, I was thinking, when it says trust in the Lord with all your heart, how does it look like? I want us to look at John 2. And we'll see something there. John 2, verses 1 to 5. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. Jesus said to her, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. Listen to verse 5. His mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. And we know the story, we know that account, how it ended. Mary's trust in Jesus was not a passive belief. You know, trusting in the Lord is not a passive belief. It's not. It is actively relying. So when you look at Mary, it was an active reliance on him. So she went where her trust was, because she was persuaded that Jesus was God and that nothing would be impossible with him. Even when Jesus' answer didn't seem to be positive at first, you know how he answered. He said, woman, why involve me in this? Mary's total trust in the Lord is expressed in what she told the servants. That's where her trust, her total trust, that's how it is expressed. What did he tell them? Whatever he says to you, do it. That is trusting in the Lord with one's whole heart and not leaning on your own understanding. You know, if you look at verse 6 of the same Proverbs, it says, in all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your steps. Mary acknowledged Jesus in the crisis by going to him, that is trusting in the Lord. She went because that's where her trust was lying. Where is your trust? Where is your trust? That's the question that I want us to ask ourselves and answer by the end of it all. Where do you run to when facing an impossible situation? Where do you run to? Where do you go? Do you depend on your own understanding? Do you run to man for strength? What exactly do you do? Where is your trust? Let's look at the contrast of trusting in the Lord with one's own heart. You know, the contrast is called unbelief. The contrast is called unbelief. Unbelief is what made the Israelites perish in the desert. Their account is recorded in Psalm 78. Please go and read the whole psalm at home. Just read Psalm 78 for you to understand what not trusting in the Lord looks like. It's called unbelief. If we look at Psalm 78, verses 40 and 41, here's how it reads. How often they provoked him in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert. Yet, again and again, they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. How often they provoked him. Again and again, you know what was, we already know what was happening in the wilderness. Whereby they would say, okay, he provided, he made us pass through the sea. We know that, you know, he provided water from a rock. But can he also provide food in the desert? That's how they were tempting the Lord, limiting the Holy One of Israel. And how often we've limited the Holy One of Israel with our unbelief. You know, unbelief magnifies the problem above the knowledge of God. It's like when you look at the problem, it's like it's too big. It's too big and it's magnified above the knowledge of God. Unbelief caused God a liar. Failure to take God on his word is calling him a liar. You know, God has said, by the stripes of my son you are healed. But unbelief will tell you, a disease like this one. You are calling God a liar. So unbelief, no wonder God hates unbelief. And it grieves his heart. You know, it's like he wants to help. He wants to come through. But he can't because of our unbelief. Unbelief is the contrast of trusting in the Lord. Unbelief tests God in one's heart by insinuating that the presenting situation or need is superior to God. What is it that is above God? Unbelief limits God's ability and power. However, our unbelief does not nullify God's faithfulness. Romans 3 and 3 to 4 tells us, for what if some did not believe? Would their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? Certainly not. Indeed, let God be true, but every man a liar. Unbelief is synonymous with limiting God's ability, limiting God's love and power. We often do it when we face a mountain in front of us. Just like the Israelites in Psalm 78, who despite the wonders they had experienced, could not trust him when faced with a new situation. You know, there was a time that I start thinking there is no other miracle other than the miracle of salvation. That's a miracle. The very fact that you've been saved, what other miracle do you want to experience for you to trust God? If salvation is not a miracle to you, to me it is. You know, the most wanted asset that disappears when we find ourselves in negative and threatening situation is peace. The only remedy to this loss of peace is found in following scriptures. Philippians 4, verses 6 to 7 states, what does it say? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. However, this scripture only works for those who trust in the Lord, as is declared in Isaiah 26:3-4, which says, "You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts you. Trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord God is an everlasting rock." So you keep him in perfect peace, in spite of the circumstances. Like that song which was saying, "I'm in the fire, but I'm not burning. But I'm in the fire." And he only keeps in perfect peace those whose trust is in him. Those whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. In Psalm 121, it states, "Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which can never be shaken. It remains firm forever." Do you want to be unshaken? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Let your trust be in the Lord. You know why our trust should be in the Lord? It's because of the integrity of his word. He's an unchanging character. His proven faithfulness to keep promises and his unfading love. Every promise he makes comes true. Numbers 23, God does not lie. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent or change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? Why do we keep doubting his word? Why do we keep having this unbelief when a situation presents itself and you start shaking? What we are supposed to do is we are supposed to go to his word and find a word, you know, that concerns our situation. And you see, when you find that word, hold on to it. Like the psalmist, we should be unapologetic in putting our trust in God, who does not lie, and be able to declare, "I'm counting on the Lord. Yes, I'm counting on him. I've put my hope in his word." That is Psalms 130, verse 5. "I'm counting on the Lord. Yes, I'm counting on him. I've put my hope in his word." I don't know what you are going through. I don't know what you are fearing. But unless you declare this, you have no peace. "I'm counting on the Lord. Yes, I'm counting on him. I have my hope in his word." Our trust should also be in God because of his unchanging character. You know, God never changes in his power, goodness, or truth. In Malachi 3:6, the Lord declares, For I am the Lord. I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. I am the Lord. I do not change. So this unchanging nature of the Lord is also stated in Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. The same Jesus that Mary went to. He's the same. He's the same today. The same one. The same God who parted the Red Sea. He's the same God. The same God who has helped you this far is the same God. The same God who dropped manna in the desert, he is the same God. The same God who has helped you, the same God who has saved you, he is the same. He doesn't change. He remains the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same God. The same God. But as I was preparing this message, I was so grieved because I know that's what grieves God. It's like the Lord kept reminding me about the times when I've not trusted him. And I could feel that grief. God is grieved, child of God. God is grieved because of our unbelief. God is grieved. What you are going through, whatever it is not much with God. It's not much. It's not much because God is the same one who created the heavens and the earth. God must be exalted, magnified in our minds. We must magnify God above everything else. Whatever we may be going through, God is bigger. God is bigger. God is greater. Where is your trust? Where is your trust? I don't know where your trust is. And I don't know what you are going through. Where is your trust? Where is your trust? You know, we have a problem. If it's a sickness, what does the word of God say? He heals all our diseases. All our diseases. But we end up in the realm of believing what we know. Especially if we are told that there is no medicine, there is no cure. When there is no cure, our minds, our unbelief tells us that even where God is concerned, there is no cure. And right there, we lose it. Because we are not going to stand in faith. We are not going to go to him in faith like what Mary did. It's not making sense. How would you go to Jesus to talk about wine? Is it making sense? But because for her, she was persuaded, the only person who can do something about this is Jesus. So that's where her trust was. So she went. What is your persuasion like? What is your persuasion like? Are you running hater, skater all over? There are no jobs. There are no jobs. And that becomes your language. There are no jobs. And now you start looking at human beings. If it's not uncle, you know those that are influential. You are looking at people. Cursed is he who puts his trust in flesh. Where is your trust? It doesn't matter what the situation is like. It doesn't matter how it looks like. Our trust should be in God. Where is your trust? Where is it? I want us to spend some time just responding. You know yourself. You know where you are. Let's just try to respond to this. And let's repent of our unbelief. It is grievous before God. Father, we thank you. Father, we honor you. You are the Almighty God. You are the Almighty God. Father, you are able to do that which we cannot even comprehend. You are God. You are not man. Yet, Lord, forgive our unbelief. The times that when we've limited you, when we've limited you, Father, forgive us. For you are more than able. You are more than able. You are able to do exceedingly abundantly, beyond and above all that which we think or even ask, according to the power which is in us, the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, forgive us. I pray, oh God, for that one who is despairing. I pray, oh God, for that one, Lord, who is scared, who is afraid. I pray that, oh God, they will put their trust in you and trust you completely, because you are trustworthy. And you are able to do exceedingly, abundantly, beyond that which we can think. Father, we thank you. I pray even for those, oh God, who've got issues concerning even this transition. Lord, our trust is in you. Our trust is in you. Let each and every one of us put our trust in you. We thank you. And we honor you in Jesus' name. God bless you.